Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor Randy, Christine, the family. And yes, I made a few friends. Thank you very much. Many people took time to talk to me. And let me ask you, ma'am, do you always grab the mic from your husband? That was delightful, but praise God my wife was not here. Well, I was only kidding. That was good. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. No, please. But I have to start somewhere, right? They say you have to have the right footing. It helps. Hallelujah. Yes, for people who are seeing me for the first time, my name is Peter Kumar. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I have a ministry. I have a wife. I have two children. The ministry revelation is called Forerunners. Forerunners, nation changes. See, we have to grow into something where God wants us to become. Are you with me? We have to grow. Well, I was almost an atheist till 1980-81. I was a professional soccer player, weightlifter, boxer, a guy who used to carry knives. I was not afraid because my dad was a top government officer. So in India, I'm an Indian man. In India, it's very different. Cops used to come to my house. They have to sign every day. So there was an influence. But every day, my dad would cry. He would say, "Why are you embarrassing me?" Every day. And I would tell my dad, "I will embarrass you." Certain things happen in the family. How many of you understand? Any change in the family affects us, true or not. Don't look at me like that. Go check with your family. My daughter is growing up. She's 27 years old. We are very good friends. Recently in a conversation, she said, "Dad, I need to get married." I said, "Very good." Then she said, "If I get married to somebody whom you don't like, will you get upset?" See, in Canada, they don't tell you, right? Do they tell you when they want to get married? Maybe you'll find on Facebook. So I told my daughter, "I will be upset." So she said, "For how many days?" You know, these days kids are very smart. So I smiled and said, "Girl, look at me. I'll be upset for 3 days. But you will be upset all your life." She didn't know what to say, please. I mean, I am not very religious or spiritual at all, please. I've been through this. But I become very practical. And then I asked her, "Why did you ask me this question?" She said, "Dad, I'm scared." So I told her a good advice. See, I used to be a marriage celebrant in New Zealand. I'm a citizen of New Zealand, living in America. I told her, "Get Mr. Wrong and make him Mr. Right." Is it a good advice? No? What do you think? Is it a good advice? Correct. See, she understands. She understands. See, many of you have been waiting and waiting for the right guys. And some of you got the right guy and made him the wrong guy. Hallelujah. No? 10 out of 10 marriages, 7 are not very happy. True or not? How? See, please, guys, listen. We cannot assume that everything is going well. We have to make it happen. We have to make it happen. So 1981, I had an encounter with Jesus. I said, "Okay, I'll follow you. I'll follow you." I was very, very stubborn. Even now, I'm a very rebellious guy. Everybody said, "You have to say the sinner's prayer." I said, "No need." Yeah, put your hand up, "Lord, I sinned." I've seen that so many times. And then they go out and they drink. And then they come back and say, "Lord, again I sinned." a verse in the Bible which said, he gives you authority to become his son. I like that. I said, I'll take it. From now on, I'll live like your son. So I started going to a church. I went to this church because all the girls were very pretty in the church. How many of you like that? You need motivation. So the pastor loved me and said, can you take Sunday school? I was so good with the kids. Even now, I'm very good with the kids. Kids really love me. I would play with them. I would scream with them. And they would be all over me. And the pastor came and said, you know, you have a beautiful children's ministry. I didn't know what was children's ministry. I said, what is children's ministry? You have to keep on telling stories for the children. I said, wow. And then I was thinking, at 65 years old, I'm trying to tell stories to your children. If I tell you a story, would you like to listen to me? Don't even look at me, man. So I said, no, maybe I will pass. So I was immediately promoted to the youth fellowship. Hallelujah. I used to play a little bit of guitar. I used to sing well. Can you imagine? I could sing very well. Then they said, become a worship leader. I was a worship leader. And then they said, do this, do that, do this, do that. I did a lot of things inside the church. But then I read the scriptures where Jesus said, do the works I do and do greater works. So I went to my pastor and I said, so when are you going to train me to do everything which Jesus did? He said, no, we have Sunday school, we have youth ministry, you have outdoor evangelism, indoor evangelism, we have the gym. I said, but everything which Jesus did. He told me, you're crazy. I said, maybe I'm crazy. Can you train me? I started reading the book of Acts maybe 300, 400 times. Every page in the book of Acts, I would put my hand and said, make me. If Peter can do it, I want to do it. If Paul can do it, I want to do it. If Silas can do it, I can do it. If Philip can do it. Guys, I'm talking about growing up. I'm talking about making it happen. The pastor told me, are you becoming Pentecostal? I was with the Episcopal Church. How many of you know the girls in the Episcopal Church are very pretty? He said, if you want to leave our church, I said, no, no way I'm leaving the church. But I said, can you release me to do whatever? Whatever I'm learning. My pastor was very kind. He said, you're like my son, do whatever you want. So I chose a slum. India has a lot of slums. I went to the slum leaders and I told them, okay, I will bring a team. I will bring a team. 1 hour we will teach English to all your kids. There were about 200 kids in the slum. 1 hour English, 1 hour math, and 1 hour Jesus. They liked it. 1 hour Jesus, 1 hour English, 1 hour math, 1 hour Jesus. Out of the 175 kids, nearly 125 kids gave their hearts to Jesus. And I started sitting with the slum leadership. I told my dad, please, I am stubborn, I am arrogant, but these people need jobs. My dad was an influential man. He can call a company and say, can you fix this guy? So they became painters, welders. So the slum changed. Then we planted a church there, and a kid in the slum became the pastor. See, guys, please listen to me. We have to grow up. We have to expand. We have to enlarge. And then I cried to the Lord, talk to me, talk to me. Because everybody would say, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I got tired of doing of what people wanted me to do. So the first thing the Lord told me is, prepare to travel. Prepare to travel. I said, okay, I will travel. So that was the time I met my wife. She said, I like you. I said, okay, I want to marry you. Never miss an opportunity. But I told her, I will never be there for you. Yeah, please, because the Indian men, we have to go to the grocery, we have to buy stuff, we have to take the kids to the school, we have to take the son to the tennis match. I said, God wants me to travel. I will be traveling. I do not know how many days. But will you be my wife? Maybe we'll have children. Can you take care? My wife said, why will you travel? I said, because God wants me to travel. So she said, yes. She said, yes. I started traveling. Even on work, I started traveling. Now on ministry. In a month, I'm at home for about 6 to 7 days. In a month, I go to about 3 or 4 countries. I've been married for 30 years. Now, why do I say this? Please, we have to prepare people around us to grow. If we don't prepare people around us to grow, then both of us won't grow. You may say anything, Peter Kumar, you don't understand Canada. Please, I don't need to understand Canada. But I understand the kingdom things. So the last two nights, I've been speaking about new beginning. Say that new beginning. One more time. One more time. So I'm watching the time, 11:15. I would like to speak till about 11:50, maybe 12. I need to go. But tonight, I want to speak about financial breakthroughs. So please come. Please come. Tonight is my last meeting. And tomorrow, I'm flying away. New beginnings. You know, in a family, many things can happen. A husband began to think that his wife is losing her hearing. I don't know if you understand. So he went to his friend who's a doctor and said, I think she's losing it. You know, husbands normally say that, please. When the wives are not around, don't even dare do that. So the doctor said, man, I know you, I know her very well. I can't just call her and say, you're losing it. Yeah, please. She will get very upset. So why don't you really check whether she's really losing it? And then come and tell me. So the man said, how do I check? He said, easy. If she's doing something, stand about 40 feet from her. Ask her, babe, what are you doing? Honey, what are you doing? Then go 20 feet, then go 10 feet. Then go stand close to her, maybe put your arms around her and say the same thing. Then you will know that she's not hearing. Then come and tell me, I will do my best. Is it easy? So the wife was cooking something in the kitchen, so he stood 40 feet and he said, honey, what are you doing? What are you doing? 20 feet, 10 feet. Then he went to the kitchen, put his arms around her and said, babe, I asked you, what are you doing? The wife turned and said, can't you see? I'm cooking chicken. I'm cooking chicken. And then she said, why do I have to tell you 4 times? Hallelujah. I always support the wives. Hallelujah. Can you put the scriptures and see, today I'm going to talk about a man called Abraham and how he struggles to have a new beginning. We know a lot of good things about Abraham. Yes, I love him. The father of faith, the father of nations, a friend of God, extreme miracles, a very rich man. The Bible says Abraham was very rich. And the Bible also says as he grew older, God blessed him in everything. Yes, there are fantastic things about this man. But we are going to talk about new beginnings. The book of Genesis, chapter 13. If somebody can read. Somebody's got a Bible while they're working on it. Yeah. So Genesis, chapter 13, verse 16. See, this is what God says. The promise. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. The next verse. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Verse 18. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by Vancouver. He built a prayer group there, or a fasting prayer, or an intercessor, or an IHOP, or a YOHOP, something like that. Or a supernatural school, hello. Or ascending to heaven, courts of heaven. Wow. You like that, right? God said, walk. He said, I prefer to do a prayer meeting. God said, walk. Just walk. I'll give it to you. I want to give it to you. Walk the length and breadth. He said, I'll pray about it. You know, he never possessed it. The book of Acts. Can you put the scripture, ma'am? The book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 3 to 5. Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. The next verse. He came out. See, he immediately comes out. So there is a beginning. Say that there is a beginning. One more time. One more time. See, simple. Come here, sir. Let me show you. He's doing something with all his family. Whatever he's doing, God says, move out, he moves out. So there is a beginning. Can you put the next verse? Then God gave him no inheritance in it, not even though, because God could not give an inheritance. There is a beginning. But for the inheritance, God said, can you walk? The length and width. There is a beginning, but there is no new beginning. I know some of you are looking at me and you're getting upset with me. If my dad was here, thank you. My dad would have walked away. Yeah, my dad always says, why are you bringing only negative things about people whom everybody respects? I said, no. I'm teaching people to grow. If I was standing with Moses, 3 days journey from the promised land, I would have put my arms around him, squeezed his neck and said, don't listen to these guys. Just lead them in. Maybe because there was no guy like me, Moses turned back and went away. See, what a big loss. See, in the walk of faith, please, it's a journey. Today, everybody talks about journey. Today, the Christian world is full of what we call as a progress. Let me tell you, when I came to the Lord, Billy Graham, all these people who talk about repentance, 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 I was very scared. Then, living in India, please, I mean, things come much slower to India by the time. It leaves your port and comes there. It comes in different shapes and sizes. Then they say, faith, 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 faith. I never knew Kenneth Copeland. I never knew Kenneth Hagin. Never even heard these guys' names. They didn't come to India so much. I don't know whether they like to come to Canada. Faith, 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 faith. Then prayer, 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 prayer. How many of you understand? Prayer movement, prayer ministry, prayer, 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 prayer. Then from prayer, suddenly this Holy Spirit, tongues, 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 tongues. You speak in tongues, you speak in tongues, you speak in tongues. Ah, you speak in tongues, that's okay. Then this suddenly anointing. Anointing was very funny. I look at you and you fall down. Then I turn back and then I again look at you, you fall down. I said, wow, I loved it. I picked up the anointing. In India, if I stand up to speak, everybody on the floor. If they're not on the floor, I push them down. Hello, we need take revenge. See, it was then this laughter, hallelujah. I'm talking about progress. We are aware of all these things. These are good things. These are good things. Then angels, dust, feathers. I wish bars of gold fall from heaven. Why only dust? A lady met me. She said, every day 6 times I go to heaven. I said, why are you living in your car? See, sometimes you are a prophet. It scares you. She cried. She said, I need financial breakthrough. I said, next time you go to heaven, I said, I know Jesus very well. Please tell Jesus, Peter Kumar, that Indian man told me, if you can please give me a brick in that road of gold, just a brick, don't ask for the whole road. He won't give you. One brick. I know Jesus, he'll give it to you. Bring it down, half for you, half for me. Why do you have to go to the throne room 6 times and come back empty-handed? Don't you think it's a big joke? See, there should be growth. I never question the revelation. But the revelation should help you to possess what God wants you to possess. God's way. God's way. I need to learn. I need to learn. And then this whole thing of glory came. I'm in the glory. I'm in the glory. I'm in the glory. I understand all that. I understand. And now suddenly, ascending to heaven, possessing the courts, going to the courts. I remember a young girl came to me and said, I went to a meeting, Peter Kumar. They told us to ascend, go to the courts. So my boyfriend let me down. My boyfriend is with another girl. So can I ascend to the courts and can I negotiate with Jesus that Satan should release my boyfriend? And you think my boyfriend will come back? I said, no, you'll get a husband. She just looked at me and then she said, I'm not doing it. What do you prefer, boyfriend or husband? See, New Zealand, boyfriend, 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 boyfriend. You guys are different from Kiwis. We are same. See, we are part of the same commonwealth, right? Common. India is part of commonwealth. Don't treat me like a stranger. Hallelujah. What am I saying, guys? Please, we are trying all these things. We are trying. People tell me, you know, Peter Kumar, 26 years I've been in spiritual warfare. I get excited and I ask them, who wins? I don't know. So 26 years you fight. What a waste of time. Hallelujah. How many of you want to fight for 26 years and not know who's going to win? You won't even have any spectator. You can be NFL, BFL, no FL, whatever it is. So can you put the points, please? Guys, please, we are talking about a beginning which has to make room for a new beginning. Are you with me? Even a man like Abraham, who received so many promises, who really saw how God would work in his life, is struggling. He's struggling. The expression, the instruction was very simple. Just walk the length and breadth. The man says, I prefer to do a prayer meeting here. So he refuses to possess. This is my version. This is my version. You know, they had to wait. Abraham did not possess. Isaac did something in that land. Jacob did not possess. Joseph was thrown out. He went to Egypt. He did not possess. Joseph told his brothers to possess. 430 years they didn't possess. And then a generation of about 1.5 billion people went out. They went so close to the promised land and they said, we won't possess. How do you think God will feel? Promise is an offer. I like that. Promise is an offer, ma'am, not defer. Offer. Yesterday I made a statement. See, heaven always comes with an offer. I will make you. I will bless you. I will heal you. I will make you multiply. I will forgive. I will. This is how it is. God always says, I will, I will, I will. But many of us, we understand when God says, I will. But some of us don't understand. When God says, I will, God will also say, you will. God said, Moses, I'm about to open the Red Sea. Moses said, hallelujah. But God said, you need to stretch the rod. I know this guy, Moses. He would have asked God, you think you can't open it without my rod? God would have said, yes, I can easily do it. Even if you don't show up there, I can open it. But you will. You will. So let's do it together. Let's do it together. You can call it obedience. You can call it a prophetic act. You can call it sowing. It can be anything. But make God work. You can have faith. You can have anointing. You can have prayer. You can have dreams, visions, interpretations. So many people are dreamers. Today the church is full of dreamers. Peter Kumar, I'm seeing, I'm seeing, I'm seeing. I tell them, if you see a star, let the star come into your pocket, then I will see. Prophetic acts make the transfer. What God told Abraham was just do it. Abraham must have wondered. So, I just walk the length and width. I need to check with the real estate agent. I need to check with my bank. I need to check my credit score. I need to check the documents. I need to have an attorney. And God would have said, I give up. I give up, Abraham. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. You know what God would have expected? The moment he said walk, he thought Abraham would run. Should God expect us to do that? I like the way you're all looking at me. Please, I'm not dying tonight. There's not going to be any funeral here. How does it work? You hear, you see, you act until you possess. Learn to take from the kingdom. Learn to take from the kingdom. My brother, my sister, if you don't learn to take from the kingdom, you will run after the system. I am from New Zealand. 11 years I lived in New Zealand. Let me tell you, for an average New Zealander, his best plan would be going into the system for a benefit. The New Zealand benefit is much better than Obamacare. Same, Canada. The benefit is much bigger. I'm not against benefit. Please don't get me wrong at all. But that is what a system can give us. While we were eager to understand how the system works, why don't we take time to understand how heaven works? Many of us, we understand the anointing so much. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read a few scriptures. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please read from verse 11 onwards, please. 11 onwards. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? See, there is a, say that, spirit of the man. Spirit, there is a spirit of the man. which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Next verse. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Say that. Who is from God. One more time. One more time. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Many of us have received a free ticket to go to heaven. And we've been waiting in the airport for years. We don't even know. Many times the flight came and went. You don't even know that it came and went. So when I die, I'll go to heaven, right? I mean, please, today preachers are challenging that. 40 years back, that was what I was taught. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. You die, you go to heaven. Today, preachers are challenging us. They talk about the millennial kingdom. They talk about pre-trib, post-trib, no-trib. I like that. Some people said Jesus already come. Some people said he's never going to come. Have you heard all these things? There are preachers who really want to confuse you. Yeah. I was in a conference preaching with he was a very leading guy. I asked him, so you speak so much. He said, the heaven is going to come down, kingdom is going to come down. I said, if you die tomorrow, where will you go? He looked at me. He died. He died. And then I saw, he died and he went up to be with the Lord. Totally different from what he was speaking. I only told him, at least you should know where you're going. True or not? Today, yes, foundations have been shifted, new foundations are laid. But it's good. The church has to go through that. Reformation, transformation, what does the Christian say? So many things. Mission. I like that. Excellent. But still, my brother, my sister, if I ask you, who are you? You may say, I'm the king of royalty, kingdom mind, anybody. I will ask him, what do you have from the kingdom? Show me what have you received. Show me what have you received. Come here, sir. Put both your hands out. Do you have a job?
I do.
Really? Okay, you have a job. So why do you have a job?
To stay alive, make money.
So you make money through the job. If you don't have a job, no money?
Not from that job.
So what does your job give you?
Security.
For how long? If they throw you out, what does
as
it mean?
As long as you work.
Oh, security till you work for them. So what else does a job give you?
Some sort of a satisfaction of doing something.
You're too honest, man. You. So do they pay you? Who decides your pay?
My boss.
He's right. See, many of us, we think God gave us a job. How many of you have been there? I pray for a good job God gave me. That's true. But still, who decides your pay? Have you ever prayed, Lord, tell my boss to give me $1 million?
I have, but yeah, it didn't come yet.
See, please, we tell God, talk to my boss, right? We don't tell our boss, talk to my God. He'll throw you out. Guys, please, see, I'm an MBA. I'm a mentor. I mentor many business people. I mentor many people who are in jobs. So, a job will give you a wage, plus a few benefits, true or not. Now, wage, is it common or uncommon?
It's common.
Common. Anybody who performs a similar job will get a similar wage. Anybody who has a business, anybody who has a similar business will have a similar profit. So, where does your job take you?
It's in the city as far as I want to go?
Your job will take you to your wage, and after some time, it'll take you to retirement. Are you praying that you should retire soon?
I want to retire soon, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You want to retire soon?
I wouldn't mind.
Okay. So is retirement an increase or a decrease?
I don't know. It depends how you look at it.
How do you look at it?
It could be an increase.
Okay. So your wage is going to go up after you retire?
No, but my freedom will.
Okay. So your freedom will give you money?
No, it will give me freedom.
Are you with me? Please. Today, if I totally depend on a system, the systems are designed to take me to a decrease. We cannot challenge the system. Many of us haven't even tried. But the kingdom economy says goodness and mercy should follow you. It doesn't say pension and insurance should follow you. So what do you need? You need a godly source. A worldly source and a godly source will make you the head. So Abraham, whatever he was doing, he was comfortable with a worldly source. He knew how to make gold, how to make silver, how to make projects, ventures. He had servants. But suddenly God says, this land will be a godly source. This land will be a godly source. So he sends Peter Kumar, and he sends many prophets like Peter Kumar, and all the prophets say, God is going to give you, God is going to give you, God is going to give you, God is going to give you. And then Abraham says, please, I'll do a prayer meeting. If you want, give it to my neighbor. He suddenly becomes very spiritual. Thank you, sir. Now, guys, please. You have to know whether you're walking into a decrease or walking into a increase. It is not too late. When Abraham was 100 years old, God rebuked him. How long do you want me to wait, man? I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to give you the best. Abraham was scared. When God spoke about Isaac, the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verse 15 to 17. Genesis 17, verse 15 to 17. Genesis 17, verse 15 to 17. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you should not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her. Sarah means fruitful. Verse 16. I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Kings. See, look at the offer. He's nearly 100 years old. But God says, no, nations should come. Not just a kid. Nations. He must have said, but I'm already rich, man. I'm already walking with you. But God said, no. Because you've been faithful in small things. In fact, God tells you're a prophet. He does healing. But God says, with all this, now nations are going to come. Kings. Can you put the next verse? Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? He says, I'd rather stay in the beginning, boss. I don't want a new beginning. Why do you challenge me for a new beginning? Don't you think I'm doing well? See my faith. Why do you insist a new beginning? God would have cried, your descendants, your descendants, your descendants. Can you put the next verse? And Abraham said to God, I don't want an Isaac. Let's settle with Ishmael. He's negotiating with God. I meet too many Christians who are doing this. It is not wrong, please. It is not wrong at all. But I'm challenging you because I'm challenging myself. I'm sharing. See, guys, yes, I live in the U.S. I used to come to Canada, but for the last 3 years, I have committed to come to Canada at least 6 times a year. Not because I want to preach. I have preaching engagements. Every week, I'm in some place. Every week. Next week, I'm in Philadelphia. The next week, I'm in India. The next week, I'm in... This is my life. But God has put in my heart that millions of Canadians are going to turn to Him in the next 2 years. So I told the Lord, I will invest my life into Canada. An Indian man has no business. I have no business to tell God. Nobody knows me. Pastor Randy treats me like family. But I want to be. I told God, when you do it, I want to be like a fly on the wall. I want to see it happen. You may say, so Peter Kumar, are you called to do it? No, I'm not carrying a magic wand saying become a rabbit. No. Yeah, some preachers do that. Can somebody play the keyboard, please? So you may say, Peter Kumar, what am I supposed to do? Whatever you hear is not an accident. Everything you hear in a place like this is appointed by God. Jesus said, if my people don't speak, I will make the walls cry. I'll make the stones cry. God's plan about you and me will never change. He will never downsize it. The more you say, I can't, He will say, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting. Certain things which you cannot accomplish by work and labor. Certain things which you cannot attempt by work and labor. God says, do a prophetic act. And He will tell you exactly what to do. It can be a healing. It can be a deliverance. It can be even relationships. Because God always says, I want to work on your behalf. Let me tell you one story. I was in a meeting in the U.S. I pray for many people. I prophesy. This lady came and she hugged and said, you told me that my granddaughter will come back. I don't even remember. I said, did I say that? She said, yes. And you said, before the end of this month, she's going to return. So I sat with her and said, so what, where is your granddaughter? This is a 15-year-old kid who ran away with a 44-year-old man. She hated her dad, ran away with this guy. Don't even know where she is. Not picking up the calls. So the grandmother was very, very, very broke. So she asked me, tell me, is my granddaughter coming back? What do you do? Tell me. I mean, you can be in the prophetic, you can have great anointing, glory, but here is a lady, and this is a real, real need. I could have easily said, I'll pray about it, but God said, no, tell her. And I said, God, please. Maybe about 16, 17 days left. I started praying, Lord, do something. before the 31st. You know what happened? On 30th, this guy tried to molest this girl. They were in a hotel. She got so scared, she left her bag, everything, and jumped out of the window and ran to a gas station nearby. So here is a 14, 15-year-old kid, not even properly dressed, just escaped. So everybody looked at her differently. How many of you understand her? No money, no bag, nothing. And a man came to her and said, "Honey, you need to go home." And next to the gas station was a bus stop, a bus station. So the guy takes her to the bus station, gets her a ticket, and then says, "You're hungry. You need to eat something." Gets her food. Waits with her till the bus comes. And he says, "Please get up." She goes there. She sits in the seat. She wants to thank him. She turns back and nobody's there. She comes home, hugs the grandma on 30th and says, "I will never leave home. I will never leave home." See, you can call this miracle, anointing. You can put an ownership on that. How many of you understand? But please, guys, if our God, my God, can go to any extent to work on our behalf. I'm not saying run after money. I'm not saying run after things. Yes, we don't like that. But why not? Why not? Why not possess the big things God wants us to possess? In the new beginning, your descendants will be like the dust. In the new beginning, you will become the father of nations. In the new beginning, you will become my friend. In the new beginning, I will tell everybody, I'm the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. When Abraham heard that, he would have cried. And he would have said, "God, I'll do my best. I'll do my best." I want every eyes to be closed. My brother, my sister. Yes, I've been prophesying over so many people. People came and spoke to me. But this morning, for some reason, if you feel you're not walking all the way with God, all the way. You began somewhere. You began somewhere. But today, maybe you're not stepping out. I'm saying walking all the way. I can easily say backslided. I can easily say, please, words don't mean anything in the kingdom. Heart means everything. Heart. And if you would say, "Peter Kumar, I don't want to let down God. I will do my best. If my God has greater things for me." God told Abraham, "I have to make your name great. I have to make a blessing. I have to make you a blessing to everybody. All the families in the world." Please. He would have struggled. "God, please. I don't even understand. Why should I become a blessing to Indians? Why should I become a blessing to Canadians? Who are they? They're not even related to me." And God would have said, "You don't understand, Abraham. You don't understand." So if any of you say, "Peter Kumar, from today, I'm willing to walk all the way with God, all the way. I want to recommit my life to go all the way." If you're trying to say that from the bottom of your heart, I want you to stand up and come forward. I want to lay hands on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus. You know, there is power in the name. Break every chain. I said, "Andy, would you like to say something?"